Welcome to All Sides with Anna Staver. Asking ChatGPT a question uses more power than you think. A single query of a large language model consumes 10 times the electricity of a regular Google search. That's exponentially more power. As we embed artificial intelligence into our spell checkers, our job screening, even organ transplant eligibility, we burden our power grid, which means it needs to be upgraded. The question is, who pays to build new power plants, lay down bigger transmission lines, and what can the state of Ohio do independent of all that to be more energy independent? Washington Post business reporter Evan Halper writes about the hidden costs of AI and the future of energy generation. He joins us now. Evan, welcome to All Sides.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Artificial intelligence is behind the boom in data centers being built across Ohio and really across the country. All that computing power, these warehouses of drives, they come at a cost. Can you give us a sense of just how much power these centers are going to need?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best example comes in Microsoft just made a deal with the owner of the Three Mile Island nuclear plant, which is on the Susquehanna River in Pennsylvania. This plant has been closed since 2019 because it wasn't economic to make nuclear energy. It was competing with natural gas, with renewables, and it just, was too expensive. Microsoft needs so much energy for its data centers that it signed a deal, a power purchase agreement, it's called, with the owner of the Three Mile Island plant to just buy all the power from that nuclear plant for 20 years. That's the amount of power it takes to power about 800,000 homes. And that doesn't come close to even like making much of a dent in the sort of power needs of AI. I mean, you're just talking about an immense amount of energy that these artificial intelligence data centers need.
Yeah, one of the statistics in your article that just stopped me in my tracks was Virginia is looking to increase its power generation by 50% in the coming years, and that's just to supply all the data centers coming online there. And you wrote that that's the amount of electricity used by the entire state of New Jersey. Is it fair to say we're essentially adding, sort of figuratively, new states to the existing power grid?
Yeah, I mean, it is. If you look at the trend lines and how much power is forecasted and all of the data centers they're building in these places, Northern Virginia is a particularly interesting case because it's sort of the world's biggest concentration of data centers. And so you're seeing, in some ways it's the canary in the coal mine. As power gets more expensive, places like that, or they run out of space to build data centers, they're starting to spread all over the country. You're seeing this in Ohio, of course, where, there was a lot of power available around the Columbus area, New Albany area, and all these data centers moved in. And then so much power they're using or are going to need that the utility started getting nervous and saying, wait, this can affect other ratepayers. We may need to figure out different ways to do the rate structure here because like all this infrastructure needs to get built just for these data centers.
Yeah. One of the things I find fascinating is AEP here in Ohio is essentially fighting some of the big tech companies over the power plant and who should pay for this. AEP wants them to pay upfront 90% of their projected usage, even if they don't end up using that much. It's essentially saying you need to cover the upfront costs of all the lines and all the plants and all the things that we need.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, when you build new infrastructure, even if a factory comes in or some, and you have to build that new infrastructure because you have a spike in demand because of certain industries, the cost is what's called socialized. Because if you build a new transmission line, you build a new substation, sort of everyone on the grid benefits from that. This is a kind of different situation where you have one user needs so much energy and there are questions about, are they really going to use all this energy? Are substations or these things going to get built? And then, the tech industry, it's so fickle. Is it going to move on? Is it going to move offshore? And then ratepayers in Ohio would be stuck paying for all this infrastructure that these tech companies said they needed and then didn't need. And so AEP is among several utilities now. They were kind of on the front end of this who are saying, we don't know if it's all going to work out this way. We're a little concerned about whether everything you say you need is actually going to get built and you're really going to pay for it. So we want you to pay up front. And it's also sort of signaling to these companies, we have so many data centers here and it's starting to really be a strain and we can't really handle this. And we're okay if you don't come locate. I mean, it's sort of a change you're seeing in a lot of states that were like initially just saw big tech companies, they saw money, they were giving tax breaks, and they wanted these companies to come. And now they're thinking this may not be as much of a boost to the economy as we were hoping, and maybe we need to slow this down.
Yeah, just to put this all in context, AEP Ohio's vice president says she has pending requests to build data centers at more than 90 sites here in Ohio. And if they all got built, they could use as much power as 20 million households. That's more than the population of the state of Ohio.
Yeah, the numbers are astounding. I mean, we're constantly seeing places where data centers show up and then they quickly usurp so much energy. And then we see the amount of energy they're using is like more than, all the houses or half the houses in the city that they just come to a few years ago. And it's hard to imagine one industry that, not that long ago was not among the major power users is now just using this much energy. I mean, these are no longer sort of like super efficient, climate friendly operations, despite the marketing of these companies. They operate more like, cement or steel plants, and the amount of energy they use and their impact on the environment.
Yeah. What's interesting about this case is I think what's happening now with AEP and all these tech companies here in Ohio is they're sort of setting the framework that other utilities in other states could possibly follow. Because, I mean, what they're essentially asking is, what if we invest in all this? If we ask our customers to pay for all this, and then the data centers up and move somewhere else in a decade?
Yeah, this conversation, what's happening in Ohio has quickly reached the national level because there's another thing going on that AEP is concerned about, and that is you have the company Amazon trying to locate a data center next to another nuclear plant, this one called the Susquehanna nuclear plant. They want all the energy from at least one unit of that nuclear plant to go to powering this Amazon data center. But the question is, what kind of upgrades you need to the power grid to do that, and who's going to pay for them? And AEP is raising objections, saying even though these data centers that Amazon has are connected directly to this nuclear plant, we think there's going to be a cost for customers, and we're concerned about that. And then the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has gotten involved, and they're starting to look at like, okay, do we need to have a whole new, the way we've been doing this for 100 years, the power grid regulation, do we need to change that because of AI to protect customers?
Yeah, the estimates here in Ohio is that this plan, if all these data centers got built, ratepayers could be stuck with a bill of $50 million to $140 million. That's according to AEP's own testimony. So, a lot of money that we would all have to fork over just to get these up and going.
Again, it's interesting how, I mean, you can see the widespread in the number you just quoted. And also then you have other power companies are saying, no. If, these AI deals happen, the tech company comes in and they'll be using so much power and spending so much on power, it'll make everyone's rates cheaper. And then you have other utilities saying, no, we don't see it that way. We think if these companies come in and the amount of upgrades we need to make and how quickly they want us to move, it'll make it more expensive for everyone. And so there's not even agreement on the baseline of what this means and what's going to happen for, ratepayers like you and me.
You did speak to some people in Oregon who have struggled to pay higher utility bills. You had a record number of people who had their electricity shut off last winter.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon is a place where they've seen lots of data centers, popping up. At the same time, their power bills are just going way up. And there's a reason that power bills are going up, and it's not entirely, I mean, there's many reasons. It's really hard to sort of pin down to one thing. But what you're seeing in Oregon, what you're seeing in Northern Virginia, what you're seeing in some other communities where data centers have just sort of taken over a lot of the grid very quickly is this kind of consumer backlash that we hadn't seen, 2 years ago that wasn't there. And now you're just starting to see this around the country, and it's worrying utility executives, it's worrying ratepayers, it's a very hot issue right now.
One of the things you also wrote about was state governments offering discounted electricity rates for these data centers. What's the thinking there? Because it sounds like that's probably getting the biggest backlash of all.
Yeah, and we were looking at a case down in South Carolina where Dorchester County really wanted this Google data center. So they gave them like a crazy cheap property tax rate. And then Google and some state officials went and made an agreement to and the utility there to give Google power for 6 cents a kilowatt hour, which is just like significantly cheaper, 60% less than what residential customers pay. It's normal for industrial customers to get a cheaper power rate, but this was even cheaper than all the other industrial customers pay. And so there's a lot of frustration down there. We talked to small business owners who said, my bill is this much, and if I had this much of a discount that Google had, it would be hundreds or even thousands of dollars a month cheaper. And so am I subsidizing Google because of this? And so there's, tension in the state legislature about this, and this is happening in a lot of communities around the country.
We've been talking a lot about cost and how much energy they need, but I wonder if there's concerns or real concerns about power outages, about brownouts, about particularly in the hottest of hots and the coldest of colds, if we've really got enough power for all of these things.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very real issue. Does America, are we running out of power? Is the power grid, can it withstand this? Can we handle all of this? And, the only way you can really change that situation and make sure there's more power is to start, for lack of a better word, rationing, saying, okay, does it make sense to give this data center all this power? Should we really be considering what are the best uses? What is the data center doing? Is it a national security issue? Are they developing something that's like pertinent, or are they just doing cat videos? But like, we don't have these discussions in America because we believe, that there should be enough power for anyone who wants it and anyone who needs it. And so what's happening now is you're seeing utility by utility, they're looking at these new rules and saying, okay, we can't really prioritize customers, but we can change the rules universally to say, okay, if data centers are coming in, they need to pay up front. The data center companies, the big tech companies, the Googles, the Amazons, they don't want to do that. And it does create this question of like, okay, are we going to have enough juice? Are we going to run out? Or are, is the data center market just going to have to move abroad? And what are the implications of that? Yeah, a lot of real questions because they're really, I mean, if you look 5 years out, 10 years out, and how long it takes to build transmission and build new generation and build a nuclear plant or a transmission line, it's hard to see us having enough power for everything the data center industry says it needs and everything else we need.
Yeah, as particularly as AI just gets integrated into everything. I touched on that in the opening that, Grammarly, like we're putting AI into our spell checkers. We're putting it into, it's not just for, hey, create this funny video of an elephant dancing. Like there's actual integration into sorting through job applications. There's rumors that it may go into like helping like first filter organ transplant applicants, everything. And every time you put a piece of artificial intelligence into something we already do, it just exponentially increases the power we need.
Yeah, I think that's a real issue with AI because with other things, even air conditioning or things we think of as like really energy intensive, there's always efficiencies that come along. Like we think, okay, we're all using dishwashers now or washing machines, and the amount of energy that's going to use is just unimaginable. And even when the internet came online initially, there were these worries that like it's just going to take over power consumption. And it didn't happen because like we develop, efficiencies and products and things have gotten so much more efficient that like even as there's more people and we're using more appliances, like, energy use had stayed relatively flat over the last decade. But AI is moving so fast, even though they're using AI to make the industry more efficient, develop more efficient chips and all that, it's just way outpacing the energy needs are way outpacing their efficiencies. And so, if this trend continues, with all of us falling into this and using AI and not even realizing how much energy it uses, again, it's just hard to see us having enough power for everything we expect to have power for.
In just a bit, we're going to talk with an Ohio state senator who's looking to provide more electricity here through distribution lines. So, creating your own little like mini power plant on your house or your business, rather than waiting for those transmission lines to get built from like the major utilities. Are you seeing that in other states, this idea of trying to add capacity at like a micro level as opposed to a macro?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're seeing all kinds of attempts to get squeeze more juice out of the power grid, for lack of a better term, or just sort of bypass the power grid, go what's called behind the meter, build a power plant like right next to a data center. There's things even called virtual power plants where you try to pool people's energy, and if like I have solar panels on my roof, or I have a pickup truck with a that's rechargeable with a big battery, like how can I more efficiently like share store energy from the grid and put it back onto the grid? And so, there's grid enhancing technologies to make the grid more efficient, and there's a lot of things out there, and there's a lot of things that can be done. Big picture though, these fixes, which make a lot of sense in the short term, they don't fix the bigger problem. And so you still need to have like major fixes to the transmission system and the grid along with them.
Yeah, my personal favorite is smart appliances that, like, your water heater would suck down power during the lowest part of the day to get all your water ready.
Yeah, it's an amazing how many things they can do, how many things we're not doing, that are untapped. I mean, there's privacy issues also. People hate their utilities. And so do you want to give the utility power to lower your thermostat at a point in the day? Or do you want to, and all these programs are often voluntary, but people in, some parts of the country are very hesitant to give their utilities more power over anything, which you can understand, considering the track record that they have. So these are complicated questions.
There's also just that question of like your smart devices spying on you and relaying data in ways that make you uncomfortable. Like if it knows when you shower and it can like schedule around that, it's a little creepy, just fundamentally.
Yeah, I think we as Americans expect a certain level of privacy. We've seen, in the digital age, we've lost a lot of privacy. But it's one thing when you give your name to Facebook and they have some of your data, and it's quite another thing when, yeah, they can control when hot water is coming into your house and not, and that makes people uncomfortable.
That was Washington Post business reporter Evan Halper. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're talking with one state senator who has a plan to make energy generation in Ohio a little bit easier. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News. No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast. You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Anna Staver. We're talking this hour about the future of energy generation in Ohio and whether our power grid can handle the age of artificial intelligence. Earlier, we heard how power company AEP is trying to make tech companies pay up front to upgrade transmission lines. Now we're going to turn to how smaller businesses can keep up with the demand. State Senator Matt Dolan wants to expand how companies generate their own electricity. The Cleveland area Republican serves on the State Energy Committee, and he joins us now. Senator, welcome to All Sides.
Thank you, Anna. Thanks for having me.
So you have a bill that would let businesses do something called virtual net metering. Can you explain what on earth that is?
I can, but first I want to compliment you because the first segment really set up the issue that exists in Ohio. And the issue is, if you're a business, over the next, as you look out over the next 10, 15, 20 years, can you be confident that there'll be enough energy created so that when you turn your machines on, when you turn your lights on, it'll happen? That seems so far-fetched now, but as your previous guest said, it's coming. So what I am doing is saying we need to create more energy. And if you look at the utilities and their power generation plants that are needed, whether it be nuclear, whether it be gas, anything, it's 7 to 10 years out just to get it built. Well, we don't have 7 or 10 years. Your guest made that clear. So what I've done is said, look, in Ohio, we have what's called net metering. And that simply is saying on your own property, if you are a business and a home, you are able to create your own energy generation on your own property.
This is like solar panels on your roof.
Correct. Or if your listeners up in Cleveland will know, Lincoln Electric has some wind turbines on their own property right off of 90. What my bill is saying is let's expand that, and it's called virtual net metering, which in itself just says if you are a company, you can build your own power generation on a piece of property that is not adjacent to you. It simply just has to be in the same region as your utility company. But why I'm doing this is because we want to have the discussion of energy generation because it's an issue. But let me just put it in practical terms. If you're a small business and you're a small manufacturer, a mid-sized manufacturing plant, and you see exactly what's coming, what you guys talked about, all these data centers coming to Central Ohio, all the drainage to AI, you guys didn't even talk about crypto and what that means when you mine crypto, what an energy suck that is. Well, if you're a mid-sized company, you're like, well, I don't want to be part of a rationing and I don't want to be part of brownouts. I have a business to run. So this is saying, okay, you can go on a non-adjacent piece of property and build 120% of your energy creation. And you can do it all of the above, meaning we're not limiting it to alternative energies or just fossil fuels. It's whatever you want to build. Now, if it is a gas-generated generator, that has to be 50%. 50% needs to come from another source. But it also is only on distressed lands, because what I'm trying to recognize in Ohio is we have a very practical issue in that we have a number of distressed properties throughout our state, whether they be brownfields, whether it be strip mining lands, whether they just be property that is not buildable for business, landfills. But I am expressly excluding agricultural lands because I don't want the political side of this to get involved and say, well, look, we're trying to make sure that we create energy. We're not trying to create wind farms. We're not trying to create large solar farms. That's another part of Ohio that we need to address. This is simply saying you can create your own power. So you contract with a third party. So the utility is not necessarily involved in the generation. They are involved in the siting, but not the generation. You produce 120% of your power. You're guaranteed your power. You get a credit off your bill if you create more power than you need. That helps the grid because we're creating more electrons.
So let me make sure I understand this. So I have a business. I make whatever I make, let's say. Let's say I make shoes. I don't know. I like shoes.
Okay.
So if I'm manufacturing shoes, but I'm located in an area where there isn't property adjacent to me, but a couple miles down the road, there's a brownfield, which is essentially a site that's got some chemicals on it that doesn't make it ideal for development. And I say, hey, I'd like to buy that parcel and I'd like to put up a bunch of solar panels and I'm going to generate all the power for my shoe factory from that site. And then whatever extra just goes back up into the grid.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Now, just so we're clear, I don't get, you know, the electrons that your shoe company creates are not the same electrons that are going to go.
Right. I'm pulling down from the grid and sending up from the.
But yes, exactly. But what you're doing is creating energy that does not exist now. You still need that electrons. Now you're saying, hey, I'm going to produce some for the grid, which eases the grid. And this is not the solution. I think your guest said,
yeah,
this is a part of the solution, but this can be done within a year versus 7 or 10 years.
And this also potentially could give some surety, some confidence to those business owners that the lights aren't going to go out. Like, I am guaranteed this energy that I'm creating.
Correct. And, you know, I always say this is an economic development bill because we want more businesses to come to Ohio. Well, businesses can see what we see. They're going to see, wait a second, you're siting 9 to 10 new data centers. You have artificial intelligence. Are you going to have enough energy for me to operate a business in Ohio? And we have to answer that yes.
So there are no, this bill, which is Senate Bill 275, correct?
Correct.
For those who want to go deep dive into it, it's got a hearing this week also, correct?
It's got its third hearing this week, tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
It doesn't create any energy credits for developers, for investors. It doesn't do anything like that.
Correct. This is and I think the guest who's going to join us, I think that's what he likes about it. This is market driven. This is, I want to be able to build energy. I'm going to create a contract with a builder, and we're going to build our own energy. This is not credits for it. This is a straight transaction, but where the building pays off for the company is in the ability for them to credit the generation against their bill.
So one of the wonky things that I think is really interesting about this is, so if I put solar panels on my home personally, it doesn't mean that those are necessarily creating the electricity for my house. It's going to the grid and I'm pulling down, but I don't pay that transmission cost, that shipping fee back and forth. But these businesses in this plan, they would pay the shipping fee?
So it's a great question. So there's three parts of your bill. There's the energy creation, there's the transmission, and then there's distribution. And the distribution is the lines that go into your home or to your business. And so what my bill is saying is you get a credit against the energy portion of it and the transmission portion of it. You do not get a credit for the distribution because you're still drawing energy from the grid through distribution lines. So you should continue to pay it.
And those could balance out and you owe zero technically.
Yeah. Well, most importantly is the utility companies are going to say, we're going to cost shift. Well, we're not, because no one else is paying the distribution costs except for the company. Because as you correctly cited that this is a distribution, the generation does not go on the transmission lines. It goes on to distribution lines, which ultimately goes into our homes and our businesses.
I've been thinking about it like shipping. So like the cost to ship a package from Ohio to Florida. So we're just covering that cost of the shipping.
Right. And the utilities will, you know, one of the things they say, oh, this is going to cost shift because we have to cover our costs some other way. First of all, you'll hear from PUCO, there is no cost. The utilities don't suffer a cost because the distribution fees are still being paid.
So Senator Dolan, your bill expressly prohibits development of these virtual net metering sites on farmland or greenland. Why prohibit it there?
Because I've been in this business long enough to know that there are a number of folks who would be upset about turning farmland into energy creation. We can have a separate conversation about whether that's good or bad, but I didn't want the bill to be slowed down on an old argument. So I think we all agree that distressed properties that now are going to produce value is something that we want. And so I just wanted to do that. But here's the other reason is I'm from Northeastern Ohio, as you said, and we don't have a lot of expansive properties, you know, untouched properties. We don't have a lot of farmland, you know, within 50 miles of Cleveland. But we do have a lot of distressed properties. We do have a lot of brownfields. We do have the ability for companies, your shoe company, to do exactly what you said is, hey, that property's been sitting vacant for 5 years. Let's make it a productive property now.
Yeah, I didn't realize how many brownfields and landfills there are in Ohio. But some of the testimony on Senate Bill 275, there are 4,000 landfills, lagoons, brownfields, and other historic disposal facilities throughout Ohio. If you look at the map, it's wild. It's like the state of Ohio covered in like all these little blue dots. I didn't realize there were so many places to locate these.
Right. And let's go to Southeast Ohio. We all want Appalachia to grow. We've spent $500 million on an Appalachia grant to drive the economy there. Well, what better way to drive the economy when you say to a business, you can locate now here in Southeast Ohio because we're going to provide the ability for you to be guaranteed that you're going to have the power because we have a lot of land, strip land down there that this is perfect for. There's no other use for it. Let's make it a productive use.
Yeah, you had a testimony in support of this bill from a company called CEP Renewable that talked about putting solar panels on landfills, which is just an idea I had never considered.
Yeah. Well, they do a good job of it. And again, we have a lot of landfills that can be now productive as well.
I've always thought that they should do it in parking lots, like the Target parking lot. They should make like covered parking with solar panels on top.
Well, I tell you, all these data centers are going to allow you to buy your shoes from home. So you may not need that parking lot in the future. So we may be shrinking parking lots and there could be a better use for it.
Yeah, that's actually a whole other conversation about the death of malls and like sort of big shopping facilities. You also have support from the Prairie Wind Group. So you've got a lot of interesting sort of support from all different kinds of energy generators.
Yeah, because when I introduced the bill, I wanted to have the conversation about energy creation. I didn't want to have this bill to be an alternative energy bill or a
pro-fossil fuel bill.
Right, exactly. And so what I wanted to be able to say is let's find an avenue where it does not matter what generation, how the source of the generation is, because we have a lot of advantages in Ohio with our natural gas and oil, and we should do everything we can to take advantage of that. But we also have to recognize that there is a lot of private investment dollars going into solar, wind, thermal, And Anna, some energy source that 10 years from now when you're doing your show that no one ever thought of is going to be pliable. So I don't want Ohio to become a place where if you want to invest in whatever energy source you can. And this allows for that. But it does not create wind farms, solar farms. It is limited to 120% of whatever power you create.
And it's limited to sites that are, I hate to say, too toxic for farming, but that may be the best way to put it.
Well, not just for farming, but for
lots of other things.
Building that you mentioned earlier. Yeah. No one wants to pay for the remediation of the brownfield. Now you don't have to because you can put solar plant. You can put a gas field generator there.
So we're getting down to the final weeks of this General Assembly. We're heading into what we call the lame duck period. Practically speaking, do you think you can get this done before New Year's?
That is a legitimate process question. And what I have learned over my time is if you make any suggestion that you can't get it done, it won't get done. So
yes.
There are avenues. There are multiple bills that are floating out there. And I think you said in your previous segment that this is a time of year where bills come together. So I do think you're going to see that there's support in the Senate for the bill. And so if that is, in fact, the case, and I think I have some champions over in the House, maybe it goes into a bill that can get in front of both chambers before the end of the year.
If not, you can always do it again the following year.
Well, I won't be there.
Yes, that's true.
But I have lined up some sponsors. If we can't get it all the way to the governor's desk this time, they'll introduce it next year.
Coming up, we're going to continue our conversation on the future of energy in Ohio. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.
Support for WOSU comes from listeners. You can give at WOSU.org. Support also comes from the cancer experts at Ohio Health, delivering care that empowers patients to keep making plans. Learn more at ohiohealth.com/keepmakingplans.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Anna Staver. As the number of data centers grow in Ohio, so does the stress on our electric grid. These computing warehouses consume a lot of energy, potentially risking all of our abilities to keep the lights on. Still with us is State Senator Matt Dolan. And joining the conversation about the future of energy in Ohio is Greg Lawson, a research fellow at the Buckeye Institute. Welcome back to All Sides, Greg.
Always great to be on with you.
Greg, it can take about 3 years to get a data center up and running, but a power plant can take 7 to 10. First Energy calls that a disconnect, and they say, quote, states would do better to take these matters into their own hands. What do you make of that from First Energy being like, y'all, the math is not mathing?
That's a real problem. And I think you've had some wonderful guests on already that have really kind of outlined the challenges that Ohio, and not just Ohio, but every state really is facing as we sort of embark on this brave new world in a way with AI and the data and the voracious appetite for energy. And there's a lot of technical matters. There's the generation question. There's the transmission question. A lot of this is how do you connect to the grid? Because we're part of a 13-state grid, the PJM interconnection. So, it's a big issue. It's a big challenge, and it's happening so rapidly that I think a lot of states are really already behind the eight ball. I mean, we're behind the eight ball. That's why we have the AEP debate going on with the data center folks and trying to figure out what are we going to do there. I want to give a particular shout out, though, to Senator Dolan. I want to give him a lot of credit for coming up with this and working with a really broad range of groups to come up with something that's innovative to deal with additional generation capacity. It's not going to solve the whole problem, but there is no single silver bullet to this issue. It's going to require a broad array of different policies, and this is certainly one good piece of that overarching puzzle.
What I find interesting is you wouldn't naturally expect the Buckeye Institute to necessarily be behind this kind of legislation. What brought you on board?
Well, the needs, the demand, it's out there. And look, the data centers are great. They're going to be an economic driver. They're becoming a key backbone for how consumers live, how we do everything from healthcare to public safety. Frankly, AI and training of AI is going to become a national security issue. We're in a sort of a tech cold war with China. This is a massive issue. If we don't get this right, as the United States, we could fall behind. It's kind of a modern day Sputnik moment in a sense. And so we can't afford to not get this right. And I think what's clever about this policy is it doesn't create credits. It doesn't do what has historically been the kind of policy that a lot of utilities and generators have wanted to do in the past. It's using land that is basically not being utilized and leveraged to now. It also does. It obviously it allows for renewable energy to be used, but there's also the policy of allowing for the micro turbine for natural gas, which is something that we have a lot of in Ohio, and we should be absolutely maximizing that the kind of energy resources we have under our feet. And so this is another way to allow for that. So I think it's clever. I think it's different. I don't think it's like what we've seen in the past. And it is something that we're going to have to start thinking outside the box in a lot of ways. And this is one of the policies that can start that process.
Senator Dolan, one of the things I read about when I went down the rabbit hole on energy transmission in the last week is that there's this risk of companies, like large companies, say like Google and the others, cannibalizing renewable energy sources in order to meet their own greenhouse gas emission goals. And so that's one of the things I found fascinating about your legislation is because, so if Google says, oh, this wind farm, that's just for us, therefore we're like, carbon neutral. It does mess with like the order of things. And so this allows small companies to sort of hit their own goals that way.
Correct. And that's, as Greg mentioned, that's why I wanted to make sure it was all the above. So this isn't a fight among alternative energy sources. This is saying Ohio is lucky because we have an abundance of opportunities for energy creation, including natural gas, which we absolutely should take advantage of. But these data centers, they may have some shareholder goals. They may have some, mission statements about carbon free, which is fine. But we don't want to shut down a small mid-market company in Northeast Ohio who also wants to be carbon free. And this allows them the opportunity to do it and make sure that they can keep their lights on when that happens.
Yeah, environmental groups like the National Resources Defense Council say it's not that they're against data centers, but they worry about a real increase in carbon emissions.
Yeah, I mean, that's a separate
Yeah,
conversation. But
absolutely.
we have to understand this, is that the way technology is moving and the way our economy is moving, that there is going to be a tremendous energy suck, to put it bluntly. And it is as Greg said, if we aren't ahead of that, we are going to lose because no company is going to decide to site their business in Ohio and/or the United States if we're not addressing that. And so this is a small portion of that. So existing companies now or companies that want to come to Ohio and site and are worried about everything you've talked about, this is a way for them to say, okay, we are going to take care of our own energy source. Again, it's a third-party contract, so it's also good for the economy. We have people building and investing in Ohio, and that's what we want.
Yeah, the NRDC says part of the problem they see with the grid is connecting alternative energy sources to the grid. But Greg, another report from Americans for a Clean Energy Grid shows that the rate of building new transmission lines is at an all-time low. That feels stunning given everything we've been talking about this hour.
Well, I think one of the challenges we're going to have to get with is there's a whole, from permitting reform. It's not just there's the energy policy, and then there's general sorts of policies that also interrelate to this. And we got to make sure we get things approved quickly. We have to move this stuff along. And I'll say too, transmission is going to be a key piece of this. There's no question about that. But I think you're going to see a lot more co-location. You might start to see some pop-outs of microgrids that kind of operate on their own, but maybe separate from the overarching PJM grid that we're part of. So I think you're going to start to see kind of, again, a wide range of policies because it is an all hands on deck situation. There's the generation question, and we probably do need additional generation, but we need to do it in a way that's smart and doesn't essentially socialize the cost too much to residential customers, other commercial customers, small businesses, that and all of that. So we need to be very careful how we calibrate these policies. But we're going to need generation, we're going to need transmission, but we are going to need to also figure out how we do co-location, so you can have things that are close by, so that will limit to some extent the need for some of the build out, and it'll make it a little bit easier to get things off the ground quicker. That's all the kind of things that we're going to have to do. I think Ohio is having a real debate about what that energy policy is going to look like. Senator, this bill that Senator Dolan is put forward is certainly, it should be a major part of that conversation, but there's a lot more that we've got to do. It's a real challenge. And I think people are just now waking up to the breadth and complexity of this challenge.
And I should say that when we're talking about transmission lines and that 13-state system, we're talking about federal laws. So it's not something that Senator Dolan can really affect at this moment.
So I was just going to address that. So, we have to work in partnership with the federal government. And what's interesting to me is you have a private enterprise, Amazon, I believe, who's trying to reopen Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania for nuclear energy. So that's a private enterprise saying we're willing to invest our money. But to Greg's point, we have to do it safely and regulatory reform and all those things. So there are options out there. But if we aren't working, to Greg's point about the laundry list of things that need to be done, it won't get done.
Yeah, something fundamentally, Greg, about a private company owning a nuclear power plant that feels funny on its face.
It's pretty remarkable, isn't it, that this is a serious conversation?
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny that you think about Three Mile Island. I think people still sort of see
It's got a
Saturday Night Live
reputation.
and things from back in the 70s, but this is a big deal. And it's showing you how serious this is, that we're having to have this conversation, and that the deployment of private capital is there to be willing to do that. But we're going to need, hopefully as the Trump administration comes in, we'll be able to work collaboratively, Ohio and the other states, to get the kind of regulatory reforms as well, so that maybe we need to see more of this. There's also the in the long run, I think a lot of people are cautiously optimistic about what they call SMRs, the small modular reactors. I think those are things that are going to come online. I think Bill Gates has been putting a lot of money through the Gates Foundation into testing these things. I think you're going to see that. That'll be more distributed energy as well, and can also maybe fit some of these niches that some of the data centers will have, especially maybe a data center, depending on the size of individuals' ones. So I think you're going to see that happen more as well as time goes on. So it's going to be a mix of the new and the old and everything else, but it is pretty funny to think about that private companies are going to be owning that. But think about everything that's going on with SpaceX now
I
and
was just about to
venture
say
driving
that we're
rockets out of
sending
the sky.
private companies up into space.
Yeah, it's a brand new world, and it's kind of exciting because it kind of feels a little bit like maybe this is what it was like when industrialization first started happening and people were building railroads. We're kind of at this cusp of a new era, and we're not really sure what it's all going to look like, but top-tier companies are going to be at the leading edge of it.
Yeah, I think it also like naturally within me is like just like a little person with a house, but it gives you a little sense of unease. Like, is the power company going to prioritize these major businesses over small businesses? Or is like Amazon going to be guaranteed power for its data center whereas I'm rationing?
That's a concern that we should have. I mean, fortunately, I don't think that's in the next 2 to 5 years. But if the data centers become 7 or 9, and as Greg said, we're part of a 13-state grid, we're not alone in siting data centers, and the transmission lines aren't being built fast enough, those are the exact questions that we will have.
Yeah, and that 13-state grid, don't they, if I understand it correctly,
we like bid, we make requests for energy, but they don't necessarily have to give us everything that we ask for.
Correct. I mean, the bidding process is very complicated, but
yeah, that's a very simplified version of it.
But you know, the last bid process they did, it was very expensive. Why?
A lot more expensive
because
than it used to be.
Demand was out, was bigger than the supply, and that's going to drive up costs.
Yeah. Are you worried about ratepayers here in Ohio, Senator Dolan? I mean, we talk about property taxes going up and pricing people out of their homes. What about their energy bills?
Yeah, so that's a separate question we can address. But within the confines of this bill,
right,
you'll see that I'm expressly saying that, that distribution cost is going to be paid for by the businesses. So the utilities can't come in and say, hey, we're losing revenue because this company's no longer paying distribution costs. They are. So there is no cost shift here. We'll make that very clear in the bill. Yeah, certainly long term, the ones who are going to feel this the most are going to be ratepayers, because if we're going to be building out, who's paying for that? Is it the customer is going to pay for it? Well, maybe they do. Maybe, as you say, they prepay 90% of it. Who do you think's going to, where do you think they're going to try to recover their costs?
Yeah.
By the amount of data we use. So, yeah, we have to be very conscious always of the ultimate customer is, the family who's just working hard and trying to get by.
I'm going to ask you a little bit of a petty localized question for me. My HOA has had a lot of heated discussions on whether we should be able to put solar panels on our own homes. You know, some states ban HOAs from prohibiting solar panels.
So I don't think Ohio is one of them.
No, we are not one of them.
So having dealt with HOAs on many areas as a lawyer, they can be very contested. Only thing I would say is, to Greg's point, is, we don't know what's coming. Change is really hard. And, if we're arguing aesthetics now, what it looks like, that's missing the point. The argument needs to be, where is our energy coming from 5 years from now? And if we can get ahead of that, then our homes are protected. And the value of your home goes up when you want to resell it.
So I can tell the president of my HOA that the aesthetics are missing the point.
You can say that I think that's the case.
It's true.
Greg, what do you think happens if this legislation doesn't pass, if we don't start to make changes? What are you worried most about?
Well, I think I'm very worried for a lot of the same things that Senator Dolan's worried about. I mean, we need to be able to put the all hands on deck. We need to be able to do this. And if we can't do something like this, which is a policy that is, it's new, but it's also, it really is not something that's going to put the utilities out. It's not going to create a lot of hardship for them. And if we can't manage to do something like this, I think that is not necessarily a good canary in the coal mine, so to speak, for the future. Because there's even bigger things that we're going to have conversations about. I mean, we have to have... We're going to have a couple of conversations about our entire deregulated model in Ohio and whether we've done that or not for electricity generation. That's probably a whole other show, but that's interrelated.
We'll circle back on that.
Is interrelated to this because you got to get those policies right as well. And I would argue there's some weaknesses in how we've done some things. So there's a lot of other stuff that needs to happen. And this is one of those things that is just, It is a common sense thing. It is something that a lot of businesses will be able to take advantage of. It's kind of, nothing is ever low hanging fruit in Ohio. Ohio has a tendency to be very hard to get good policy sometimes across the finish line. So I don't want to understate how challenging it is, but this should be relatively low hanging fruit when we think about the scope of the challenge ahead of us. And so I would hope that we can move this thing forward expeditiously, because it is going to grease the skids for the kind of conversations that we need to have more broadly that everybody else that you've been talking with today has really done a great job of highlighting.
Senator Dolan, we have just about a minute left. So you have Senate Bill 275. It's getting its third hearing tomorrow. If somebody's like, oh, my gosh, I think this is so important, what should they be doing?
So they can always send in testimony to my office at dolan@ohiosenate.gov. They can come to testify tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the Senate Finance hearing room. It is likely that we will have more hearings where we will have opponents, proponents, and interested parties. So there are multiple ways to be involved. I would ask that if you agree with this, to call your state senator and your state representative to tell them that you're in favor of Senate Bill 275 and you want to see it passed.
That was State Senator Matt Dolan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna.
And thank you to Greg Lawson, a research fellow at the Buckeye Institute.
Thank you very much.
And thank you all for listening to All Sides. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow the show on Instagram, WOSU All Sides, right here on 89.7 NPR News.